Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Broad Appeal here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, this is a very interesting story. Are you ready for this?
If I said I weren't ready, would it make a difference?
No.
Okay, go ahead then.
Well, so, no, a letter we got. Dear Tom and Ray, I'm a Schwann's food delivery driver. I don't know what that is. Working in rural Minnesota. Today, while listening to your show, I visited one of my customers who raises sheep. She didn't appear to be home, so I just lazily left the truck running with semi-intelligible car advice still audible through the doors. That's us.
I guess, yeah.
I noted somewhat lazily, then again I do just about everything somewhat lazily, that the sheep were making their way from the pasture towards the parking area.
Not a good sign.
Well, my customer was home after all, and after taking her order, I returned outside to find every single one of the sheep at the front gate, all staring at my truck. But it wasn't until I opened the door, letting your voices fully into the air, that they all started bleating excitedly. If you've never heard this sound, it's like a bunch of underpaid voice actors shouting, bah! Anyway, this is a real letter. Anyway, for whatever reason, you command great interest from the Minnesota sheep population. And I thought you should know. Sincerely, Zach the Schwann's Man. All the sheep came to talk to us. Can you believe it?
I don't know if they were expressing delight or dismay. There was the fact that they were saying ba. I mean, what's a ba?
How do you interpret a ba from a sheep?
I think happiness.
It could be happiness. It could be anger. It could be fear.
No, I think they were excited. I think it was the sound of your voice. How does it feel to be liked by the ovine population?
Can you see 10,000 sheep going, bah? I like it.
Well, this is great. Well, maybe we're pioneering a new niche for NPR, the sheep audio market, right?
Dougie, call NPR, tell them we want a raise.
Or at least a wool sweater or two. Anyway, if you have a question about your car or why farm animals are surrounding it while we're on, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Guys, this is Megan calling from Vail, Colorado.
Hi, Megan.
Megan, how do you spell Megan?
It is with an H, M-E-G-H-A-N.
That's the traditional spelling, I think, isn't it?
Yes, that's the good way.
That's the good way.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
What's up?
I have a 1998 Jeep Cherokee Sport with 198,000 miles
good,
on it.
Good for you. Wow.
Yeah, thanks. In July, my check engine light went on, so I took it to my mechanic, who diagnosed me with a cracked exhaust manifold, but could not explain why the check engine light was on. So he said I didn't need to fix it, so I've been driving around, and my check engine light has been going on and off since then. And what I've noticed more recently is if I'm going onto the highway, the car is very slow to accelerate, and the engine is very, very loud.
Well, it's loud.
Loud because the exhaust manifold is dead.
Well, it's broken, so it's got a crack in it. The exhaust manifold in this thing is made out of cast iron. And
okay.
and it's cracked and it needs to be replaced. But
that's what would make the noise, but that wouldn't make it go slowly.
Okay.
No, what could be making it go slowly is you ready for this? You're going to love this.
Okay.
No, you're not going to love it.
She's not going to love it.
No.
No, you're not going to love it because it means you'll have to spend a lot of money.
Cost money. How did I know?
I think there are three things going on. I think the problem that set off the check engine light was undoubtedly the oxygen sensor. And
okay.
I'm guessing that it's citing catalytic converter inefficiency. Now, I think the converter is plugged up. And the only thing that's allowing the thing to still move, albeit slowly, is the fact that the exhaust, all of it, doesn't have to pass through the converter anymore. Some of it's escaping through this hole in the manifold.
Yeah.
So that's why you have diminished power. because a lot of the exhaust is still trying to get through the converter, but it can't get through. And you have the noise because of the crack, but the crack is allowing the thing to run. Mm-hmm. I would predict that if you fix the manifold, you wouldn't be able to drive it.
It's not going to work at all.
Exactly. You're not going to be able to drive it.
Yeah, I think my brother's right about this.
So you may have to figure it. Depends. What's your long term? Are you shooting for, like, I know a lot of people when they get to this 198,
you got to go to two.
Well, you know, I think 240 is the magic number. You know why?
Why?
That's the distance to the moon.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah, well, we know that. In fact, you were there during last week's show. So if you're at 198, you might as well shoot for the moon, as they say.
Hey, every year I say I need 5 more years out of this car.
Well, if you're going to continue to drive it, you really have to fix it.
You're going to have to do something.
The exhaust, and I'll tell you why.
It's dangerous.
Exactly. That exhaust leak is going to allow carbon monoxide to get into the passenger compartment.
And if you think you're stupid now.
Right. This is what happened to my brother. He had a Jeep like this once, and we kept warning him about the fumes and warning him, and he kept disregarding us, and see what happens? So I think you need to fix that, and then maybe when you fix that, you'll find out what the other problems are. And you may find out at 198,000, at the very least, you're going to need a new oxygen sensor, and you might need the catalytic converter, too. The converter may be plugged.
Yeah. And that runs into money.
Yeah, so you're
But so what? I mean, it's 198,000 miles. So what if it's a little money?
Yeah, so you might spend $1,000 or so on this.
Okay, that's doable.
How about $1,250? Would you spend $1,250 if you had to?
No.
I think you're right. Put a limit on it. It's $1,000 or nothing.
Okay.
See you, Megan. Thanks for your call.
Guys. Bye.
Bye.
That's a lot of miles.
It is a lot of miles. Do you realize how many trips you'd have to make to your favorite coffee shop to get 198,000 miles?
I've made them.
Maybe you have. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Doug. I'm calling from Loveland, Colorado.
Oh, another Doug.
Hi, Doug from Loveland, huh?
Yes, sir.
What's going on, man?
Oh, my wife's 1997 Oldsmobile Bravada. It sounds like the power steering pump is going out on it, so she called her mechanic, which is me.
Yeah.
That was her first mistake. But it's making this noise, and it's getting louder and a little more frequent, and I really don't know what to do.
What's the noise?
Your typical type of noise, you know. Where
as you're turning the steering wheel.
Not only then, but also while you're just sitting at the light. It's kind of just sitting there making a noise, and then, of course, then I look over at her, and she's looking at me. That's the real noise.
How long has this been going on?
Oh, it's been getting worse over the last couple of weeks now. I looked down in there, and I saw the where you put the fluid in. I checked it, and it's full, and so I thought, well, I'll just borrow her turkey baster and take some out and maybe put some conditioner in there, but then she wouldn't allow that. So.
Oh, you absolutely have to try the conditioner.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to work, but it'll be interesting to see if it works even a little.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and if it says put in one can, put in two.
So I can suck some out and then put the conditioner in?
Yeah. My guess is that the pump is gone.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to have to replace it. Now, do you know, if you buy a pump at an auto parts store, it's not going to come with the pulley. So you have to get the pulley off and on.
I got you.
You need a puller to do that. But it's a great opportunity, Doug, to buy a new tool.
That sounds good.
Right.
The problem is I looked down in there, and it's not like any I'd seen. This engine's kind of wedged in there, and it's not like it's sitting off like most power steering pumps.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if the last one you did was on your 67 Oldsmobile.
There you go.
Yeah, this is not like
this,
that.
This is kind of tucked in there.
Okay.
But it's the same principle.
It's doable.
It's doable. It's just going to take you four or five times longer.
Okay.
You know, so
set how many miles on this vehicle?
About 140,000. I'd like to kick it to the curb, but she loves the car, you know. So
well, you're only 100,000 miles away from making it to the moon, so you.
Yeah, that was an interesting factoid.
You know, so I don't think I'd put too much effort into this thing, but you know, you could buy a used pump.
Oh.
And if you buy a used one, then it's got the pulley already on it.
Oh, okay.
You go down to your local junkyard.
Yeah, we don't call them junkyards anymore.
No.
We call them recycling
centers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And you just ask them for one, and they'll take one off of something for you.
Okay.
They probably have them off already.
Oh, yeah. They may have them sitting on a shelf. And then, you know, if they give you a bad one, they'll make good on it and give you another one. But after you've done it once, it'll be a piece of cake to do it a second time.
With the pulley that way.
It comes with the pulley, and all you've got to do is bolt it on and put the lines on it, the two hydraulic lines, and the belt, and you're good to go. You'll be back in traffic in, you know, 20, 30 hours.
Yeah, and if you can't find one in Colorado, call us back. We'll get one for you around the corner.
See you later.
The Nissenbaum brothers.
All right. All right. Good luck, man.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I can tell he's going to botch that. His heart isn't in it. See, he wants to get rid of it.
Yeah.
He's looking for the easy way out.
If he calls the Nissenbaum boys...
No, they'll have one.
They'll have it, and they'll give it to him in no time.
And they won't put it in, though. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Amy from Chicago.
Hi, Amy from Chicago.
Amy.
What's up?
Nothing. I'm just sitting here drinking some coffee.
and decided you
that's nice.
To bother us.
You sound so mellow, you know?
Yeah, we'll take care of that.
Well, I have a 2007 Ford Focus, and it recently got broken into.
Wow.
They busted out the passenger side window. And what's weird about it is that, you know, I had a lot of valuable stuff in there, and they didn't take any of that. They only took the owner's manual.
What?
Now, the owner's manual had a credit card in it. They left the credit card and just took the manual.
Jeez.
Wow.
Somebody
obviously needed an owner's manual.
But what could possibly have been... They could have actually gotten to the dealer and maybe ordered one or even bought one online. And what other valuables did you have in the car that they could have availed themselves of?
I had CDs, my iPhone, clothing, that credit card.
Isn't that interesting?
And you know, I was when I was getting the window fixed, there was another young lady in the lobby of the car repair shop, and she said the same thing happened to her.
Was it
someone had broken into her car just to take the manual?
Was it also a Focus?
No, that was like a Pontiac or something.
Really?
Really? So we have people...
There's some strange folks in Chicago passing up CDs. The CDs are kind of old technology. Nobody steals those anymore. Credit card, we know that people can use credit cards.
So the
overriding question here is, why would they want your owner's manual? What's in there? There must be a treasure map or something. I can't for the life of me.
I think they just couldn't figure out how to set the clock back.
Maybe. Does your car have a coded radio?
I'm not sure. It's just the cheapest version of the Focus.
Yeah.
Well, I'm completely stymied. I can't imagine why they would want only the... Unless they weren't really thieves. Real thieves would take everything.
So they're just vandals?
Where was the car parked when this happened?
On my street, right in front of a church.
In front of the church, besides?
And, like, everything had been rummaged through. They had... It has manual door locks. Yeah. They had unlocked all the doors as if to enter from all four doors. So, you know, they had been pretty thorough.
There was more than one thief.
More than one person, and they all got into the car.
And they said, oh boy, we got another owner's manual.
No, I would have to guess that something else happened and you don't know what it was. What else could they have done or taken that you wouldn't even know they had done or taken?
Your registration.
I had all my insurance and registration information in the glove box as well, and they didn't take that. I even had the deed to the car.
Really? And they didn't take that?
No.
Have you tried to replace this owner's manual?
No.
You should. You may find out why they stole yours. Maybe they're unavailable.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, we have a second opinion area on our website, and I'm sure we're going to be flooded with emails.
So good.
We'll have hundreds of people who are going to say, oh, you dopes, this is exactly the reason it was taken. But I, for the life of me, can't imagine why somebody would pass up all this traditionally good stuff that thieves, you know, lust after and go for your owner's manual.
You know, there's another possibility.
What?
A month or so ago, I parked on a different street, and this car parked really close to me and scratched my bumper. And they were parked illegally, so I wrote them a nasty note, and I called the cops on them.
Oh.
They may have remembered what my car looked like.
Oh, boy. You must not have been drinking decaf that day. Yeah, but if they were going to, they would have done something to damage. I mean, obviously breaking the window would damage your car, but they could have done so many things that would have been.
Sure.
Once they broke,
then they had to find you to do that.
You know, once they broke into your car, that's a felony, I believe. I mean, whereas you know, if they threw eggs at your car, I believe that's only a misdemeanor.
They may have broken into my car before they saw the law school sticker on the bumper. And then freaked out about.
Yeah, but then you got the other person that you saw with the same problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we don't know.
We don't know that had any relationship.
But this might be some kind of a pandemic. But we'll put it on our site and we'll see if anyone has a plausible explanation. But
I
right now, you have stumped us, Amy.
Boy, you
Thank
have.
Thank you.
We'll let you know what we come up with.
All right. Thanks so much.
Don't hold your breath, though. See you later.
All right. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. All right. It's time for us to take a little break. And when we come back, I'll have the answer to last week's puzzle for you.
Hey, you didn't ask me if I remember it.
Why should I? I mean, you never remember the puzzler.
Yeah, but what if I do remember it someday? Then what?
Well, give me a sign, and I'll ask you, you know.
What kind of sign?
I don't know. We part the Atlantic Ocean. I had to do something. You don't remember?
No.
Well, I didn't think so. I was right. But the puzzle was from my odometer series, and we'll be back with all the details and more of your calls in just a minute.
She was much faster when we first met. Been together so long, will you take what you can get? She's still got high beams and a pristine oil pan. There's just one thing that I cannot understand. Carburetor, carburetor, well, you are the great frustrator, keeping her from doing all the things she did when young. Carburetor, carburetor, well, you make me wanna hate her. I thought mechanics had more fun. Baby won't run. Baby won't run.
And even though Wall Street traders shake their heads and say, I thought I'd hit bottom a couple of weeks ago, whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says, listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah.
And this came to us from a fellow named Martin Cohen, and it goes like this.
Yeah.
I'm going to engage you in the solution here, because I figure if you get more actively involved with the puzzler,
yeah,
then you might remember it.
Okay.
So that's...
I'm ready. I am prepared.
Well, that's all. You don't have to be prepared. Just sit there. Just try to stay awake. Odometers on modern cars go from 0 to 999999, right? There are no tenths. The tenths are now handled by the trip odometer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, imagine that someone managed to reach 999999 miles. So your odometer reads, what, all nines?
Yeah.
So here's the question. How many times did the digit 1 appear on the way to 999,999 miles? How many times did one show up in any and all of the columns? So, for instance, when the odometer read 1,011, that would count as three ones, right?
Yeah.
So how many ones were used on the way to 999,999?
That's the question.
That's the question.
All right. Yeah.
So how many numbers are there between 0 and 999,999?
Oh, there's a million of them.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah? I got that right.
Exactly.
Yeah, how does that help me?
Each one of those numbers is six digits, whether it's 000001 or 999973. Every number is six digits, right?
Yeah.
So if there are a million numbers and each of them is six digits, then there must be how many total digits?
Well, let me figure this out now. How about 6 million?
Huh? There you go. You're good. All right.
And you thought I was asleep.
I thought I was going to slap you around a little bit. And, of course, there are 10 digits, right, between 0 and 9, 0, 1, 2, 3, right?
Yeah.
Right? So each of the digits is used as often as each of the others.
Yeah.
Right? So if we divide our 6 million digits by 10, we find out that there are 600,000.
Yeah, 6 million divided by 10 is 600,000.
There are 600,000 ones. There are also 600,000 twos, 600,000 threes, because all the digits appear as often as all the other ones.
Yeah.
So that's the answer, 600,000.
We're done.
We're done. Pretty good, huh?
That is pretty good.
So who's our winner?
Our winner this week is Meredith Moss from Tempe, Arizona, and for having your answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Meredith is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which she can get a copy of Ask, Click, and Clack, a book of questions and answers from Car Talk.
Oh, yeah. And who asks these questions?
Who asks them? Our listeners, our readers.
And who gives the answers?
We do.
You see, that's the fatal flaw. I mean, who's going to buy that stupid thing?
Why do you think we're giving it away as a puzzler prize?
Of course.
Congratulations, Meredith, for being this week's puzzler winner.
Yeah,
of course we're giving it away.
We have to. Might be a million seller. Is your seller big enough to hold a million of these? Anyway, we'll have a new puzzler coming up later in the show. In the meantime, give us a call. Puzzle us. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Is anyone ever going to figure out that when we give stuff away, it's because we can't sell it?
now they will, I think. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jason, and I'm stuck in Lubbock, Texas.
Hey, Jason. That's not so bad.
Lubbock.
What's going on, Jason?
Well, I have a 2000 Chevy Impala. It's got about 150,000 miles on it or so, and it was meticulously cared for by my father-in-law before we inherited it. And about a year and a half or so ago, the low coolant level light came on in the car. Check the levels, obviously, and, you know, everything seems to be working quite well. Talked to a few of my non-mechanical buddies, and they all believe that it is the thermostat has gone out.
Mm.
And what the real reason for that is that the thermostat, when I look at the temperature gauge, it doesn't go above 140 or so. It just kind of sits there. And the low coolant level light has just still been on this entire time. I would use the black tape over the sensor, you know, over the light trick. However, that also shows us, you know, when the fuel goes out, when we need to change oil, things
yeah,
and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that black tape can cover up some valuable information as well. I believe you need a thermostat, but it's not going to make the light go out.
No.
You also need the sensor that turns that light on. You need the low coolant level sensor.
Okay. Now, the actual reason I'm calling is I have talked, like I said, to my buddy Stumpy and my buddy Meat, and they believe that I am capable of changing this thermostat. My wife, however, is of a different opinion.
I would trust your wife. Who are these two guys? These are co-workers?
No, my buddy Stumpy is an old college roommate, and Meat, he's an old friend. He's a preacher now.
But, Meat. Is he
Reverend Meat?
He's Reverend Meat.
Parson Meat, actually.
Parson.
Is what we go by now.
Yeah.
And they are hardcore shade tree mechanics.
Ah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, you can do it. And they're telling me, you know, I can do all this. And
Has either one of them offered to stand over your shoulder whilst you're doing this repair?
Well, one's in Louisiana, one's in Pennsylvania. They have offered to be on the phone while I do this.
Is this vehicle your only car?
No, we have the family van, but it is our work vehicle. We kind of switch off. You know, whoever doesn't have the kids gets the work vehicle.
So here's the essential question: if it was sitting in the driveway for a week or more, and couldn't be driven, would you be in deep doo doo?
We would be
not
in...
we. That wasn't a we. I said you.
The singular
yes,
you.
My shade tree mechanics are not up to snuff, and I attempted this on a Saturday, and it was not available to me by Sunday night. Yes,
yeah,
I would be in fairly deep doo-doo.
Well, my only fear is that you're going to break the thermostat housing, and it can happen.
Okay.
And if you did that, you'd be stuck. You know,
okay.
The savings here aren't great. In other words,
yeah, it's not a big deal.
You're not going to save hundreds of dollars by doing this yourself.
Okay,
you might save $50, and without proper guidance, you could screw this up. Yeah.
So one hand on a wrench and one hand on the phone is not.
No, I don't think
guidance.
So because they won't be able to see that you're about to break a bolt or that you're turning something the wrong way. I'll tell you, Jason, I would take it to somebody. And maybe you can take it to someone who'll let you watch And then when
you
see how easy it is, maybe the next time. But I think your first foray into doing these kinds of jobs has to be under the watchful eye of someone who maybe hasn't necessarily done it before, but can be the voice of reason and say, "Oh, I don't think I'd turn. Oh, don't throw them that, man." So I think that's what you need, and you need Stumpy or Meat there.
Wait a minute, I have to take issue here.
Really?
Because is that the way you figured out how to work on a car? No, you just got one of my cars and took it apart.
Well, it wasn't my car. See, that's the difference.
But I remember pieces of my engine on the sidewalk when I came out for coffee.
Well,
I look around, and
we eventually put them all inside. I mean, we didn't leave them on the sidewalk, but you needed...
But you had no idea how to put it back together.
Of course we didn't.
You did not.
Well,
And you don't think that was a wonderful experience?
It was, but it was a wonderful experience because I could have walked away. If I couldn't have figured it out, it wasn't my car. So I think, Jason, you're in a tight spot here because...
Well, because all you got to do is find a car like yours.
That isn't yours.
That isn't yours.
Right.
And try it out.
Well, good luck. If you decide to do it yourself, we have family counseling available to some of our callers. So,
can you ballpark this as far as you said I'd be saving $50?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you go someplace, it's probably going to cost you $100 or so.
Oh, okay.
And if you do it yourself, it's going to be $50, $40 or so out of pocket. So you might save $60 by doing it yourself.
So I'm basically paying $50 to speak to my wife for a week or have her continuing to speak with me is what it's really coming down to.
Maybe a good idea to have her not talk to you for a week.
My brother's tried that more than a few times. Good luck. I'm confident you'll make the right decision.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was envisioning this was going to cost a lot more, and that there was some hidden kind of agenda or something hidden
This is fairly straightforward, but there is no guarantee that you can't break stuff.
There is officially what we would call room for error.
There's room for error.
Oh, yeah. There's always room
for
error.
So if you had any experience using wrenches on your car, have you done anything else that we could use as a measure of your technical or mechanical ability?
I've changed all the tires. I can I've done all the air filters. I'm really good with Legos. I'm good at taking things apart and generally getting them back together with only a few pieces left over.
All right. Well, you definitely have demonstrated to us that you have no capacity whatsoever to do this. And if we have to speak to your wife, we will. See you, Jason.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
See you later. Bye. Oh, yeah.
I liked him.
He'd screw it up. But he's the kind of guy, you couldn't get mad at him.
No.
Well, we couldn't, but his wife might.
His wife could, yeah.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Julianne from Minneapolis.
Julianne, J-U-L-I-A-N-N. N. N. How many N's?
J-U-L-I-A-N-N-E.
N-N-E.
That's exactly what I wrote down.
You had it right.
What's up? Yeah.
Well, I have to give you a little background.
Yeah.
I share a nanny with my dear friend, and we have 2 3-year-olds, and she takes care of them at the same time. Our problem arose when my friend had a baby in August.
Yeah.
We now need a vehicle that will fit 3 car seats.
Uh-huh.
I drive a Corolla, she drives a Ford Focus, and the nanny drives a small VW. So we can't really figure out how to get the kids home from preschool without acquiring a vehicle.
You could attach these 2 vehicles together.
Wash them together. So one of these vehicles is going to be owned by one of you and not the nanny.
We're going to buy it together because all of us are still going to need cars to get to
work. I got it. So the nanny, this is going to be exclusively used by the nanny.
Right.
Right, except on weekends where either...
When she'll use her own car.
She'll use her own car.
Yeah.
Right.
Unless
she made a copy of the key and she used this one. Right, okay.
So I guess one of the problems is my husband thinks this is just a terrible, terrible idea.
Why?
Well, because he thinks buying a car with friends would be a delightful way to ruin a wonderful friendship. And I think he's concerned that with the amount of money that we have to spend, he's not sure he's going to be satisfied with the safety level of the vehicle.
See, I disagree with the first point that he makes.
Oh,
because,
good.
Partly because it's mostly going to be driven by neither of you.
This is true.
So it's not going to do anything to your relationship with your friend.
Well, unless there were repairs involved, you know... Well, there are two ways to approach this problem. You can buy a new car, in which case there would be no repair costs because everything is covered by the warranty and whatnot.
Okay? Right.
And so for 3 years or 4 years, there's no cost except making the payments. And you'll agree in advance on that, on the amount of payments, right? And you're going to just split that, of course, mm-hmm. right? The other possibility is to buy a used car, the cost of which is so insignificant that you don't care.
Yeah, but you're going to buy something in between.
Well, here's my in between, and you can't buy something that's so unreliable.
Yeah.
But she's not driving very far with this thing. I mean,
the preschool we chose is inconveniently located right downtown. It's 7 miles away, and it's highway driving.
Ah.
We were thinking.
What were you thinking? Yeah.
A Honda minivan or a Toyota minivan.
Okay.
Is the safety of a 2000 or a 2001 minivan a lot different than, say, a 2006 minivan?
No, I wouldn't say that
that's
a factor.
They're pretty much the same.
Yeah, the reliability is obviously compromised because of the age.
Right.
See, my original suggestion was going to be a Mazda 5, but I realized that the third row of seats is hard to get in and out of, and it's hard to get a kid. So your nanny's going to have to put all three of these kids into these car seats.
Yes.
So she's going to have to, chloroform the two of them while she's trying to wrestle that third guy into his or her seat. Right?
Well, no, I mean, two of them are three. They'll obey rules.
Could all three kids sit, abreast?
If we could get a car big enough, yeah.
How about a Volvo station wagon? A used Volvo wagon?
Really? That'll fit?
Well, I think they have to go across like that because otherwise one kid is going to be by him or herself.
Right. And I think you're going to be the nanny has to be able to administer one dope slap. One.
I just didn't realize that I could fit three. I mean, car seats are huge.
You can put three lard butts in the back seat of a Volvo.
Yeah, but they're squishy. Car seats are hard.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
But I could try. I mean, I can try this.
That Volvo is designed to accommodate three adults.
Yeah.
And as such, three car seats in the back seat. I would believe.
Okay.
And the only way to know is to go to the Volvo website and find out if, in fact, that they recommend that, if it's okay.
Right.
If it can be done, then that's I'd say get yourself a 1998 or 2000 cross country.
Okay.
All-wheel drive, safe. You know, you'll be able to buy it pretty cheaply because it's old and depreciated.
Right.
And I would set up a little fund for the inevitable repairs, maybe throw about $8,000 or $10,000 into that. But think of the money you will have saved. You're not going to buy a new one of these. You buy a new one, it's going to cost $39,000.
Yeah. No, we're not going to do that.
You know, and while the Odyssey van or the Sienna might be more convenient, it's not as safe as the Volvo.
Okay. Well, and I like the Volvo wagon, too, because, you know, my nanny is in her 20s and quite hip, and I was feeling bad about making her drive around in the minivan.
Oh, yeah, she'd never get a date.
Although, how hip she look hauling three kids around,
yeah.
But, you know.
Well, she could just wear the sign on herself, on her back, that says, I'm just a nanny.
Right.
These aren't mine. Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
But look at the Volvo. I think you'll like it.
Okay, I will.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Julian. All right, look, before we get to the new puzzler, and I know everyone's dying to hear this one, we're going to take a short break.
Yeah, but before we do that, I mean, we should sort of take care of a few things.
We should? Like what?
Well, we should remind people that if they miss our show, unintentionally, of course, they can always catch up by grabbing the podcast.
Okay.
And then there's this. Shoo, shoo. Shoo!
What are you doing?
I'm shooing the sheep away from people's cars. A little public service. Shoo, shoo!
Oh, you think that's going to be happening a lot now, huh? Oh, boy. Well, look, we'll be back with a new puzzle, which is from my Funny Math series and more of your calls.
Ah.
So please stay tuned. Some guy from Geico called and broke my heart. Said you were worth more now as a source for parts. And I wanted to scream, but I took the check. Last night I dreamed that we were riding again. And it felt so good to be with you, my friend. I think I'll walk for a while. Cause I spent the check. Astrovan, light through the cracked windshield. Astrovan, new brakes and gasket seals. Astrovan, yeah, you are more than just a
And even though the big bad wolf really wishes he had smaller ears whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
Ha! We're back.
Ooh, don't wake me up like that.
You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler, which I suggest was from my Fuzzy Math series. And essence of this Puzzler was...
You got me on the edge of my seat here.
When you're ready to leave the room? Yeah, usually when someone's on the edge of the seat, something else is about to happen. This came in from Dave Atkins from cyberspace. I saw one recent Saturday afternoon, a boy and his mother... at the neighborhood diner where I often go for lunch. From my vantage point, I could see they were working on some arithmetic problems, maybe some homework, I thought. The problem seemed simple enough, and the kid was getting all the correct answers. For example, the first one was 25 plus 8, and, you know, wrote down 33. And the next one was 12 plus 5, and, of course, you 17.
18. Oh.
And 35 plus 13 was 48. You got that. Mm-hmm. Then his mother posed the last two problems. 45 minus 8. The kid says 47. Now, I would have gotten 37, but he said 47.
And she just went right on.
Well, the next one was 42 plus 15. The kid says 43, but I thought it should have been 57. His mother accepted both of those answers.
Really?
And when I saw how the kid was dressed, I did too. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the box of a thermotile radiant floor warming system with zero EMF to eliminate interference with telephones, radios, pacemakers, and plasma TVs, of course. Advanced fiber thermix heating wires to provide overheat protection, four insulation layers, anti-fracture membrane, and a pair of pink bunny slippers, size 11. Send that whole package to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Oh, or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Ben from Auburn, Alabama.
Hey, Ben from Auburn, what's going on?
Oh, I've got a 1998 Honda Passport. A couple of months ago, I noticed it started losing coolant. I tried tracking it down. I replaced the hoses and the water pump and the thermostat, and then it finally just completely went kaput. And now every time I start it, it will belch this enormous cloud of white smoke out the
Yeah.
And then it starts running really, really rough. It almost feels like it's misfiring or something. And it'll last for about a minute, and then it'll start running normally again.
Oh, this is a classic case of a blown head gasket.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because what's happening is coolant is getting into one of the cylinders. And so when you start it up, you are pushing that coolant into the exhaust system. And it sits there. And then when the exhaust hits it, it gets hot enough to vaporize it. And unlike water, well, even if it were water, you'd get the smoke. You get this huge cloud of white smoke. And the engine misfires because until it can kick out all of that coolant, it's basically fouling and wetting the spark plug so that the spark plug can't fire.
So it's got to burn all that stuff off before it'll run.
The engine's got to reach enough of operating temperature.
It's going to get hot enough.
It's going to get hot enough so that and the coolant intrusion has to stop. And it does stop once the engine starts running because the combustion chamber pressure is keeping more coolant from coming in. Then the spark plug, of course, the injectors are still working, and the spark plugs are still begin to work in that cylinder. And once the spark plug begins to work in that cylinder, it'll run on all four cylinders, and the smoke is gone.
And it runs fine.
And that's why it'll start back up after I let it sit for a little bit.
Exactly. So if you come back an hour later, it'll start up, and it'll be fine.
Yeah. So what's your problem?
So you want to know eventually?
It sounds perfect to me.
Yeah, you could go to the discount store and buy yourself like a whole winter supply of antifreeze. It's 15 or 20 gallons, and keep filling it. But the alternative is to take the head off.
I was kind of hoping y'all would give me some fairy tale about something else that might be easier to fix, but...
But deep down inside, you knew, huh?
You knew what it was going to be.
I was afraid.
Yeah, well...
It's not that bad.
Okay.
You can... Look, you got nothing to lose. This is a 98. It's probably got a jillion miles. You're not going to take the head off, are you? Would you spend the money to do that or do it yourself?
No, he doesn't want to do it.
Well, I'd have to do it myself because my wife is in charge of the checkbook.
No.
Oh, and she ain't paying.
So this is not the family car. This is your own little plaything, so to speak?
It's my weekend run around and hunting vehicle.
Oh.
So should I try to fix it or just dig a hole and push it in?
Well, I'm thinking about additives. I mean, there are lots of additives. I mean, at this point, you got nothing to lose, right?
No.
Yeah.
It's time to buy...
Yeah, Barsley.
That's it.
Barsley?
Barsley, Stop Leak. There are all kinds of... Go to your local auto supply store and just buy one of everything on the shelf.
Yeah. You tell him what the problem is, and he'll show you the shelf that's got all the different things. Any one of them will not work.
Right. Well, I mean, I think there's probably a 1 in 10 chance...
There is.
...that these things, that one of them will work. And actually,
okay.
Delco, GM makes these tablets that we've used.
Ah, yeah.
A tablet.
The tablets, yeah. You can go to any GM dealer and ask them for the tablets. And you,
those things have worked.
You put
sometimes.
One in the cooling system, and you eat one.
Yeah. So either it fixes the car, or you're dead and you don't care.
but
well, fantastic.
But try the tablets. They may work, but also Bar's Leak has been known to work on leaks like this. But understand that it's only temporary.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
At some point, you're going to have to either put an engine in this thing or take the head off and replace the head gasket. But doing that requires taking the timing belt off and all that.
Yeah, but that may take a long time since you don't use it that much. You might be okay.
Yeah, if it's only on weekends. I mean, how many miles do you drive this on a weekend? You don't hunt every weekend with your buddies.
Oh, no. I'd probably be lucky if I hit 2,000 miles a year.
Oh, I would definitely I would definitely try the additive.
Absolutely.
And if Bar's Leak and the tablets don't work, try anything else. And if you find one that works, call us, because we're always interested in adding to the database.
I will do it.
All right, Ben. See you later, man.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. 888.
That's a nice problem to have, because it's not that serious.
Right.
And there's so many ways you can almost fix it.
Well, even if he cut it down by 50%, he'd be ecstatic.
Oh.
Right?
Sure.
Sure.
I think the tablets, they always work.
Usually.
Almost.
they're pretty good. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Hannah from Denver, Colorado.
Hi, Hannah. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great.
Great.
What's going on?
I have a 2001 MPV, a Mazda.
Oh, my God.
And when I put the car into reverse, or if I put it into park or... drive, it jerks. Now, I took it into a mechanic to see if it was a transmission, and they said they drove it around and they didn't have any problems.
So if you take it out of park and put it in any gear, you feel a big jerk? Is that when you feel it?
It's a little jerk.
I've been called a little jerk. And when do you feel the bigger jerk?
When I go from park into drive.
How about when it shifts? Let's say you do put it in drive and you decide to move. Do you feel it when it shifts from first to second? Do you feel it jerk then?
Yeah, especially if I'm accelerating a lot, like if I'm getting on the highway.
Yeah.
Then it's a real big jerk.
Oh.
Okay, and how about from second
to... And how about the next one?
Second to third.
I think there's a little one, but not anything big.
Well, there are a couple. Mm. The jerk... okay, one last question. And then we'll try to bamboozle you with an answer. Before you feel the jerk when you put it from park to drive, is there like a hesitation? In other words, when you put it in drive, is there a split second?
There's like a pause and then bang.
Yeah.
Or,
okay.
You know.
Okay. It could be something as simple. It could be. I don't want to get your hopes up. But it could be something as simple as low transmission fluid level. Because if the fluid level is low... Then that's exactly the condition that you'll get. You'll get a delayed shift, okay, which can cause the harshness between first and second, but also can cause a delay in going from park or neutral into drive.
Okay.
That's the good news. The bad news is don't get too attached to it, because the bad news is it could be signaling the need for a transmission, that the transmission's wearing out.
Okay.
So you may need that, but I would take it to...
So we hope for the fluid.
We hope for the fluid.
I do too. Yeah.
Well, at the very least, even if the fluid is full, you might want to have it changed.
Okay.
How many miles on this vehicle?
116.
Yeah, you need it.
I'm voting for the fluid.
Okay.
I'm going to abstain because I don't think you're going to like my vote.
Well, it was weird because I had the car shipped to me, and it was my mom's car before, and then she shipped it from Boston, and then it just started to do this. She said she'd never had a problem with it.
Well, at least she's not admitting she'd had a problem with it, or maybe she just got used to it. You know, it's often the case that these kinds of things sneak up on you. In other words, they gradually degrade. So that every week that she drove it, it got a little worse, and she adapted to it. She got used to it. So when she says she'd never had this problem, if she were to get in this thing and drive it today, she might say to you, oh, no, that's exactly...
Oh, it's always done that.
Exactly.
It's perfect. What's wrong with that? Now, I would take it to a shop, not necessarily a transmission shop, but you could. But I would take it to a regular repair shop and ask them to assess the condition of the fluid.
Okay.
First of all, to see if it's full. If it isn't, then fill it up and see if that helps anything.
Or if it's black, right.
If it's black, it needs to be changed. And the best thing to do is to have it flushed. They can hook it up to a machine which takes out all the old fluid and all the crud that's in there and replaces it with new, crudless, new fluid. And you might see instant improvement or you might see gradual improvement. If you see no improvement after a few months, then you're probably looking at replacing the transmission. But I would wait until it breaks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? I mean, how much longer do you think the rest of it's going to last?
I hope a while.
Yeah, you in school?
Yeah, until I graduate, I'm hoping.
When's that?
2 more years.
Oh, jeez. Well, you better study hard. Maybe you can get out early. good luck, Hannah.
Thank you.
And don't go for the graduate degree. You'll never make it.
see you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, my name's Peter. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts.
Peter.
I got a 1998 Volvo S70 T5.
Uh-huh.
Last week, I kind of went through some shenanigans, and my battery died, had a flat tire all on the same morning.
Great.
And it's awesome. So I'm out there, and my question is, the spare tire looks like it exploded.
Really?
Now, I'm out there. Before I went through this, all right, I go out to my car. I see the tire's flat.
Yeah.
I break out the tire iron. I bent the bar trying to get the lug nuts off.
Really?
I broke down, and I did something that no man should do.
You call AAA.
Call AAA.
It's like it's almost as bad as asking for directions.
Yeah.
It is. It's horrible.
Yeah.
I'd rather spend $70 on gas than ask for directions.
So the guy shows up.
He has trouble with a four-way trying to get the lug nuts off. And after he's gotten two off, he's like, hey, just want to make sure you got a good spare, right? I'm like, yeah, I check it. You know, as the seasons change, I usually check it all the time to make sure it's properly inflated and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I went back and checked out the spare. I forgot to check it out in September.
Yeah.
As I touched it, it felt really soft. And I'm like, that's weird. I pulled it out. The tire looks like it exploded. I mean, there's steel belting. It's ripped out all over the place. But the tread has buckled in a bunch of places. It really looks like somebody actually inflated the thing until
it blew up.
The tire just failed and blew up. So, I don't know. What do you guys know anything about this?
Well, we weren't driving it. I'll tell you that much. It didn't happen when we were driving it. So, is anyone driven the car besides you?
No. And I've only used this spare. I've used this spare once.
Because this has a space saver spare.
It is. It's a donut.
It's a donut. And if that thing is driven at excessive speeds or for excessive distance, it can fail. It can disintegrate.
I had it out once for 40 miles.
Yeah.
Oh, you did.
And then I checked it back in June, and it was fine.
So when you used it for those 40 miles, were you driving at 80 miles an hour?
No, I was driving the speed limit. I have to fight a ticket next week, so I want to be careful what I say.
Well, I think you're supposed to only drive the thing at 50.
Right, I know under 50.
So what could have happened to the spare? And the battery on this vehicle is under the hood. It's not in the back.
Right.
Some later Volvos, the battery is in the back.
It's
by the spare tire, but yours isn't. It's under the hood, so that we're going to eliminate that as a possibility. And there was no sign of any contamination. There's nothing that could have been spilled in there.
Nope. And I opened it up. I looked underneath it. There was nothing in there because I figured maybe there was something sharp.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to guess that when you did drive it that day,
yeah,
you damaged it. Not necessarily by going too fast. You could have hit a pothole. You could have scraped a curb. You could have done something. And that led to the deterioration of the thing to the extent that it finally just self-destructed. And it could have happened in the middle of the night. And it could have happened with a bang or a whimper. It's hard to know.
And I want to know, too, if I can go, I mean, granted the car's 10 years old, but can I go back to Volvo or Firestone and be like, hey, what's the deal?
No, well, you could, but I think they're going to tell you to take a hike. I think your better bet is to go to a junkyard and buy one.
Yeah.
Okay.
For whatever it costs. In my mind, I think the only logical scenario is that somehow or another, without even knowing it, you damaged this thing. You hit a pothole, you sideswiped a curb, you did something, and you just didn't notice it. You put your real tire on after you got it repaired or replaced. You put the spare back in, and it looked okay, except that the damage was done and the thing finally just gave up. That's my guess.
Okay.
Good luck, Peter.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Oh, yeah.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David, the Calves of Belleville Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our production assistant is Aaron Wax. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Klamath Falls, Mrs. Paul's, Catfish Balls, Chicken Schmaltz, Six of Talls, and Mentholated Halls, Free Lunch Crawls is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Mara Genovera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our used car salesperson of the month is Meg Meehanhofer. Our class attendance monitor is Julie Verley. Our director of vengeance is Ewell Rudy Day. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Latte Army Infantry in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
Oh, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of this show, which is number 844, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK, or by going to the Shameless Commerce Division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, the complete, mostly unabridged list of Car Talk staff credits. You know, the people that we thank at the end of the show, like Frida Wanda.
Our bail bondswoman.
Yeah, and Muhammad Antolomy.
Our blues coordinator.
And let's not forget Art Major.
Yes, chairman of our underemployment study group.
Yeah, he studies our other employees.
Check out the almost complete list of Car Talk credits.
All this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Mr. Potato Head wishes some kind child would pull his ears off whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.